Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We got the chocolates.
What the frick is that?
We got the chocolates.
Don't I do dad jokes?
We got the chocolates.
Wait, there's a podcast?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, welcome back to the Week of the Chocolates podcast. I'm Lee.
I'm Skin.
And you probably arrived by accident, but definitely stay for a laugh and probably a little bit more today as well. This is, in fact, a very exciting bonus episode that we're giving you an intro to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting one. We're joined by former NRL player Keegan Hipgrave. He played, it's interesting talking to someone who's actually quite good at sport for once. He played 49 games of professional rugby league between 2017 and 2021, I think, for both the Gold Coast Titans and the Parramatta Eels. Rugby league clubs in Australia, and in those 49 games, he scored 3 tries and had another 2 very exciting highlights, which he tells us all about.
Yeah,
in the episode coming up. We had a lot of laughs and got into some pretty interesting stuff. He was medically retired at 24 after quite a few concussions, which we get to hear a lot about as well. So it's a great chat.
And here's how it went. Keegan, thank you so much for being here on the Week at the Chocolates podcast, mate. How are you?
Boys, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, not a problem. Thanks for being here. It's outstanding in the studio, as you duly noted when you walked in.
Mate, it's the under 7, under 9s trophies that are getting me. I love that we've got it up for everyone to see.
Yeah, and Skin, you know what he noticed as soon as he walked in? Skin most improved. Why have you got that front and center? It's really got a better trophy.
It's right at the front.
Why is it? It's even lit up. Can we get rid of that?
Can we, every week from now on, can we do something different to that trophy to make it more obvious? By the end, just have the whole plaque just in the massive font saying most improved.
Let's put it right in the middle of the table for everyone to see.
Now, Keegan, we were fortunate enough. We've only really, as myself and Skin, sorry, I've only met you just the one other time, and we'll get to that. But maybe we should go through Mickus. You're actually mates, aren't you? Well, certainly from your side of things. Yeah. Hopefully Keegan likes you as well.
Yeah. It's very mutual.
Certainly like him, so that's good. We've been mates for a while. We lived in a few different houses together.
We lived in Palmy together for all of 7 days.
Yeah.
So we all, there was a few of us boys, me, Sammy Zuba, Maddie, and then Mickus.
Yeah.
And we all moved in, sick little place in Palm Beach. And then within a week, Mick's like, nah, I'm out of here. I got to go.
But to be fair, I still had the lease for another probably year after that. So I was coming and going for a bit. But
what did you mean? What? Where'd you go?
I don't know if you know the story, but I moved to Brisbane and to the Gold Coast of Brisbane about 15 times.
So many times.
So that was just one of those times. But then we lived in another house together.
Which one was that?
Your place in Cranbourne Waters.
Yeah.
I actually lived there for longer.
Obviously, one of the
great housemates. Yeah, how cool you being?
Did you? Like, I mean, nothing, never mind.
Mate, I had
did you pay rent? You actually owe me $8,000.
I sent the tax collector to come and get you. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Perfect. And then, Mickus, you do have, and I don't think any chalky listeners would actually know that, but you are known for, well, there's one other friendship particularly that we know about where you have a very weird sort of handshake tradition. With that particular mate, do you and Keegan have anything that resembles that?
I did not know where that was going. No, I don't think we do.
Okay, well, let me explain. Mickus has this mate named Nathan, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we met him at Suncorp Stadium at State of Origin 2. Yep. That was the first time we had met him. Anyway, these two idiots, literally, I've only met Nathan once, but I'm comfortable saying he's also an idiot. These two.
He's a nice bloke.
Yeah, lovely bloke. But they just literally just say, hell yeah, and high five each other. It would have honestly been 800 times it's that day.
You know, like how you high five, you get that like good pop. We'll just get it like 20 times in a row. Easy.
No, you'll get it 6 times out of 9, you kept telling us.
Yeah, because it's funny, but like we'll stuff up the few on purpose. Anyway, it's not that important. But great little handshake we've got.
Okay, but you and Keegan, nothing.
No, we don't.
We just hug. Yeah.
Someone to work towards.
Big love.
Yeah, that's anyway, normal. Yeah, but Keegan, we actually met you. It was the mystery poo night, actually, for those long-term listeners when Sam Zupovich
forgot about that.
So he told you that story when you hopped in the car as well.
We came and first met you boys, and then as soon as we were leaving, I think he was just like, I just took the biggest dump in that guy's toilet.
Yep. And you remember the story well. I can't remember what episode it was, but if you've listened for a couple of months, you've definitely heard about it before, because we had Mitch's fiance Eloise on to speak about it as well, which was intriguing. But that night, I think you actually, in the same night, you got to see Skin Snag for the first time too, because you were editing, you were doing the final stages editing of the Prince Albert.
That's right.
YouTube video.
Never forget.
So Keegan's walked upstairs. He's like, hey, boys, nice to meet you. What the heck is that?
It was like the finishing touches on the edit. It's very impressive edit. But the thing that the thing that got me was the photo of everyone crowding around me getting the piercing, and everyone's just filming it. It's just a little Snag hanging out. The Johnson hanging out.
People still talk about like a cricket trainer. They'd be like, you were actually in the room. It's like, it was a questionable time in my life. Yeah. Like, some of
this footage of you going like, it's staring right at me. I'm like, look anywhere else.
Also, when editing it, I probably like was editing that thing for about 15 hours before Skin got to it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I didn't probably put the censored bar over his dong until about 10 hours in. I was like, oh, actually, I can put this little censored bar over it.
You guys are well acquainted now.
Didn't you? I think you were saying, I had a similar situation with Michelle. Michelle walks past and I had to like dive in front of the computer screen while I was editing it. Like, no.
We're just working.
Snag up. We needed a code word. Keegan, there's actually a story that we wanted to ask you about. We generally start each podcast episode with some sort of story. We'll find a way to weave it in. I wonder if this sort of time in your life rings any bells. June 2018. It was a significant day for you. And the reason I'm bringing this up, that's not a specific date, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is actually the way Mikus always introduces you. Well, not introduces you, but references you. So like when he was telling us about you for the first time before we'd met you, he's like, my mate, Keegan Hipgrave, he would say, it's the loveliest guy. He got sin bid twice in one game. They were always the sentences that went together. So, and just to give some context, if you're not a huge NRL fan, the previous player before that in 2018, the only previous player to be simmed twice in one game was in 2002. So it's a 16-year gap. Do you remember that evening?
Oh, mate, I didn't have many highlights throughout my career. I had two highlights that went viral. One of them was the time that I got, and Mick, as you know, the other
I know,
one,
I definitely know
which
it
we
now.
Can touch on in a second.
Oh, please, keep that in mind.
But that one, it wasn't even anything crazy, right? So I got sent in twice.
Yeah. They were just professional fouls.
They were professional fouls. It wasn't even a head.
Because I went back and found the highlights today. It was disappointing. Nothing to it.
Repeat offences
or
something.
So underwhelming. I remember I got sent, and I was. Mate, I was I was wired a bit differently when I was playing. Like I was just, I was like very competitive, very aggressive. I remember standing off, my adrenaline was so pumped, and our well-being manager, he's just like, hey, just keep it cool. There's camera in the sheds. And we walked into the sheds and I've just booted this chair like 10 meters onto the other side of the room, and they grabbed that clip and then that clip went viral.
So is that actually from the same night they went both those things a lot? That's what went viral.
That was the first thing. Like I said, I don't have many highlights. The second one was probably in, I think, 2019, 2020. That's probably when I was playing my best footy. We had a guy called Jimmy Dimmick who was looking after our defense, I guess. Jimmy Dimmick's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. So he's our assistant coach. He was there with Justin Holbrook at the time. And so we would be doing, you know, we'd do wrestling sessions every week. And so part of this wrestling session is like, if you ever caught in a tackle where, you know, the guy in front of you has his back towards you, then what you want to do is prop them up and then put them down. So when we're playing the Brisbane Broncos, and I had Payne Haas, big boy, he's coming into the back of me and he turns and I've got my underhooks and I'm like, all right, this is it. I've done one big thrust, one big hip thrust, but Payne's a big boy. And so I didn't get him with one pump. So I had to go the double pump. And then put him, and then we obviously we got him down, and it was all right. And then I came off the field and Jimmy Dimmick's like, Keeks, that's not the tackle technique. And what they did was, I think it was Brown Cardigan clipped it. And then as soon as I looked at my phone in the sheds, the headline read, Titans literally just fuck the Broncos. You'll be able to grab that.
Yeah. And if you've made Brown Cardigan, it's probably not good.
Yeah.
No, we've actually been on Brown Cardigan once for just a positive, just a joke.
Have we?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, maybe they were taking the piss out of us, but I didn't think so.
Anyway.
Okay, well, moving on from that, Keegan, the other thing that we do like to do pretty much weekly on the podcast is get a joke of the week. They're often sent in on the chalk line by our listeners, but on this occasion, we said, mate, we can find one for you. And you're like, boys, I've got 300 crackers. Just let me at it. He didn't say that at all. So I'm excited to see what you've got for us.
I wanted to know if it was PG or not.
Yeah, no, definitely not. We've had some stinkers on it. Well, you should hear some of the ones we listen to that don't make it.
Yeah, we do filter out a lot. So I guess let's find out where this one sits. Right. We'll filter it out.
Brushed. How do you find an wait? I've already
nah,
got
think
it.
Through it. Think
I'm
through
trying
it.
To think through
no
it.
Rush. I can see what you two are mates.
How do you find a blind man on a nudist beach?
Ooh, go on.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, good.
Really good.
Very good.
Really good. And I would argue like P, maybe M15. Oh, yeah. Barely.
What do you, I got that's one more.
Geez, yeah, here we go. We've encouraged
what
you.
Pulls out of the game. What do you call a guy who cries while he masturbates? A tearjerker.
Oh, my goodness.
That's really good.
That's actually good. Well, I haven't heard that.
I've never heard that.
I was so scared that those would have been already said.
That's perfect. That's a genuine new piece of material.
I've heard your first one. I just wanted to be nice. Second one, amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Did you get both of them?
I got them both.
It's always worth clarifying. Yeah. Okay. Keegan, I guess we'll try and make there's a few things that obviously we'd love to get you to talk about probably later in the episode. It's the easiest to listen to, I think, if it sort of travels in chronological order. We've spoken about the fact that, well, in the intro, we gave a bit of a wrap of your footy, and you've probably spoken of your lack of highlights, but being modest, obviously. But when you do think about retirement, I guess – I know for a fact that I picture sort of those superannuation ads that start talking about being 65 and able to access it and stuff like that. And then, so reading the headline, Keegan Hipgrave retires at 24 is weird. Like, I feel like you sort of look at that and go, that's quite strange. Like, what possibly would have happened? I remember sort of reading these articles relating to head knocks and concussion, I guess, and you can probably shed a little bit more light on that. But to start with, how did you get into footy? Where'd you grow up? Where's home? And then we can probably move on to what you're doing now, I guess.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I spent most of my career, like juniors, probably at Palm Beach Currumbin, grew up playing footy, surfing, although it wasn't ever that good. I was surfing with Mickers a fair bit.
Who's better out of you two? Because he's 27th in the world.
Mickers is definitely better than me, 100%.
See, you try to be modest.
He knows it as well.
No, I'm not. Shut up.
Okay, good. So now we can do the run it straight challenge. You and Keegan. Who's better at footy?
I'd love to see that.
Keegan's slightly better. Yeah.
Payne Haas tackle later.
Stop it.
I'll show you how it's done.
All right, so Palm Beach to us.
Yeah. Palm Beach. I did most of my like under 20s, like semi, saw my first contract at 17, 4 years at the Brisbane Broncos. Right. So that's before I guess you're training at a full-time level. You're training in like the main squad, which was really cool. I got to train with my idols like Corey Parker, Sam Thaiday, Josh McGuire. And I was like, I was super competitive when I was playing, like almost to the point of a little bit arrogant. Like I remember a wrestle session when I think I was about 18, like just came into different wrestle sessions. Yeah,
I want to talk so much about wrestle sessions.
We do it so much.
Keegan Hipgrave, WrestleMania. Yeah. Name of the podcast episode.
No, I went in and these sessions are tough. Like it's pretty much an hour of just getting flogged. And at the end of it, you're pretty much just running straight at each other and you do this little sort of drill where it's called shark bait. So you've pretty much got, you're in the middle and you've got a group of boys around you and then you've just got to run in and tackle each other like 10 meters by 10 meters as hard as you can. And then the person who flips the other person gets to go out. If you keep losing, then you stay in there for the next however long.
Whoa.
And I think Josh McGuire was in the middle. I really looked up to Josh McGuire like for in terms of his toughness and like how solid he was. But I remember thinking like, fuck this guy, I'm going to try and get it over him. So I flew into him and we're like wrestling. I'm trying to pin him on the ground. And then at one point I had his underhooks and I thought, you know what? I'm going to flip him. And then he must have just knew. He picked me up and there was a mirror there. He threw me into the mirror and then just walked away. And I'm thinking like so humbled at the time, thinking, this is first grade. Like yeah. this is what you're getting wow. yourself into, which was pretty wild, mate. So yeah, I did 4 years or 3 years at the Brisbane Broncos. Went through a bunch of injuries there. End up tearing my hamstring like 5 times in 1 year. Almost gave the game away, actually.
Yeah.
Well, mate, like when you do your hamstring, it's like you tear it. You got torn when I was maybe like, I don't know, 19. And then you do your 6 weeks recovery. And I was aiming to try and get back for the under 20s Australian team. So I sort of rushed the recovery a little bit and then tore it again. And then it was just a roller coaster of like getting it right, tearing it, getting it right, tearing it. And if it was an ACL and they said, look, mate, you got 6 months or a year out, would have been sweet. But because it was a roller coaster, I remember the fifth time I tore it, Josh McGuire again. He's just like, mate, if you're a horse, we'd shoot you. I'm like 8, like 19-year-old kid, like very, I don't know, hormones running everywhere. I remember thinking just like so cut up about it. I called my old boy and I'm like, Dad, I'm done. I'm over 40. I've had enough. Called my manager. And my manager talked me out. He's like, mate, you're 19 years old. Like stop putting so much pressure on yourself to play grade. Like, cause I was super ambitious, like just wanted to play NRL. Anyway, he convinced me out of it. Moved to the Gold Coast Titans, where I ended up making my NRL debut at the end of 2017, I think it was about 20 years old, which was cool. Played 5 seasons there. That's probably when I played my best footy, excuse me. And then had a bunch of concussions towards the back end of that, you know, stint in the 5 years, and then moved to Parramatta for 2021, where I ended up, same thing, went through a bunch of concussions and got medically retired at 24 years.
So when you say on the like concussion side of things, when you speak about that, like that was never an issue early stages, like juniors and we're growing up, even 18, 19, you're more talking about like hamstrings and stuff. Like what, spanning across how many years are we talking about? No, like how many concussions over how many years basically is that?
Mate, so many people ask me how many concussions have you had?
And you don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea.
It's probably not a good sign in itself.
It's not, mate. I had a bunch of head knocks. Had a bunch of head knocks when I was a younger kid, like just playing football, playing rugby league. I remember we went away for the Australian schoolboys team, like tour. Went away with like Latrell Mitchell, Tyrone Fulmer. Had like a great side. I think like 21 out of 24 of the boys ended up playing NRL. It was great. Right. It was pretty cool. But I think it was like 4 weeks over in England, 2 weeks in France. And I think I got like 3 or 4 concussions, like pretty big knockouts. But back then it wasn't so diagnosed. Like I was pushing because he was playing for Australia. I wanted to play for Australia. Yeah. So was rushed back then. Even under 20s, it started getting a little bit better. And then once you hit NRL, that's when they start. Obviously, if you do get a knockout, then that's when they start to pull you off. It's a bit more diagnosed, like, okay, well, you've had 3 this season. Usually once you get 3, you know, big head, big knocks, and the doctor pulls you off, then that's when you have to go off and see independent doctors, similar to what KP did, yeah. I think, last year or earlier this year.
Kalen Ponga, that is.
Kalen Ponga, sorry, abbreviation.
Yeah,
no, yeah, you picked that
nickname
one.
Nickname basis with KP. Me, Keegan, call him KP.
But yeah, mate, so you get three big head knocks, and then you go see independent. I did that in 2019. They told me to have 6 months off. So 2020, maybe, whatever it was. And then had 6 months off then, and then, yeah, same thing. I can't tell you how many I've had, to be honest. It's pretty wild.
Right. Okay. And I just find it so strange how some people seem to go through their whole careers without it becoming that big of an issue. And then for other people, it seems to be like a recurring thing. I guess I just don't understand concussion well enough. But is that once you get a head knock, you're more likely to get it again? Or like you just require less of a hit to get more damaged the next time?
Matt, it's a great question. Everyone's different. So you might have a player who, you know, gets multiple head knocks but don't see any symptoms, or you might have a player that gets one head knock and then see all the symptoms. So everyone's different. It's not a one size fits all in terms of, all right, this guy has three head knocks and we have to go see a neurologist, say. But to go off the back of that, there are research studies to say, like, if you are exposed to multiple head knocks, then you're more likely to see the symptoms. So that's when you see guys in the AFL and NRL who've had multiple head knocks over the times. They might just get a little graze to the head or a little head knock, and then they'll see dramatic symptoms and dramatic effects. The back end of my career in 2021, I remember we played Penrith Panthers in the last game, and I look back at the game and I got the tiniest little hit. I think someone like elbows just grazed the side of my head. I remember just being like sort of like almost out really quickly, but then I came to really quickly. And so I got up, got back into the defensive line. And then Tevita Pangai, we were defending our try line. Tevita Pangai, big dude, ran an unders line, and I had to jam in on him. And there's a clip of it. Yeah. I remember jamming. He's a big boy, came off second best, and then that's when I got the whiplash, head hit the back of the ground.
That's tough to watch back.
Mate, that was like those symptoms after that concussion was the worst that I'd ever had. Like, I remember I came off the field, I had a headache, a bit dazed, but I was like, oh, actually, I'm pretty good here. That was my third concussion of the year, so I knew I had to go off and see the neurologist and see everyone. But like, what got me was that the symptoms sort of hung around a little bit longer. So we end up, the boys end up playing finals, got knockout finals. I obviously couldn't play because I just had my third concussion for the season, diagnosed concussion. There's probably a few more in there. But the symptoms that I had was like, I had a headache for like 2 months afterwards. This is when the boys, like, we've split, everyone goes off and does their own holidays and everything. And then my emotion, like irritability, like I was really angry all the time. But it was weird because you're conscious of it. Like, I remember I went and saw my granddad for his like 80th birthday or whatever, and he wasn't doing too well. I remember just driving, just being like so angry. But it was weird because I was aware of it. And then I got in there, I saw my granddad, and like I was just not really saying anything, just like just being angry. And then I got back in the car, and then I like snapped into it and like realized what was happening, and then just started bawling my eyes out, thinking like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not even going to see him that many more times. So there was little things like that, like little things like leaving my surfboard at the beach, like leaving my keys in public toilets. Like, there was just so many little things, but I think that the emotions really, really played. And that were sort of my symptoms that I had.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting to hear. Cause like you hear a lot about concussions particularly in NRL, but even in cricket, like players have sort of similar issues. And I hear people talk about it all the time, but never really had an understanding of what the actual symptoms are or what the problems are. Like, if someone gets hit in the head and they're out with a concussion, you just sort of, I don't know, like they're just back in a few weeks' time generally. But it wasn't until like reading interviews that you've given that I actually understood sort of what some of the symptoms are and how it's, like that sort of having headaches for months afterwards and the problems that come along with that. So,
but everyone's different. Like Tamari Martin, he was at Bronx, and I'm not sure where he is now. Like he had, I'm pretty sure he had like a brain bleed, like from his head knocks, and his was sensitive to light. So he stayed in his room for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks afterwards. And so he had 2 years out of the game when I think he was at Penrith before, and then ended up coming back to the Broncos. And now I haven't spoke to him, but I'm pretty sure he's back playing sweet. So that's what I mean. Like, you can have those, 2 years off, and then he was deemed fit to play. Yeah. Me, I'm probably not going to go back and play. Like, I like my body feeling pretty good, which is nice.
And then what about like in terms of, You spoke about the frustration of like even as a younger guy coming back from hamstring injuries. Like, did it get similar in terms of that? Like, I just imagine, you know, like coming back from the one pretty significant injury I had, I guess, with like the ACL, like knee reconstruction as well. Like, the doctor would say, like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, your knee's good, but you're good to go. But I know, like, in my own head, like trying to play footy and stuff again after that for like the next 6 months was like, I was just nervous and like, I didn't feel like I could concentrate on playing footy. I was more concentrated on, please don't get hurt again sort of thing. Did it become similar with concussion, like with your head knock sort of thing? Like, could you go onto the field and go, oh no, I'm not thinking about it whatsoever?
Yeah. When in 2019, when I was at the Gold Coast Titans, I had the 6 months off and then I was so ready to come back and play. Like, it didn't even faze me. I was so much like, oh, it's my head. But it's just like, if I hurt my AC or if I hurt my hammy, like, I was so keen to get back and play. And so nothing was going to stop me. Like, I came back the fittest I'd ever come back, ended up playing the whole season. But during that time, well, probably during the next time, I was aware that if I kept getting the concussions, like if I kept getting hit to the head then, but no, like, yeah, I guess it does kind of play on your mind a little bit, because I was aware that if I did get any more concussions or big concussions, then clubs will probably look at me thinking, oh, well, he's not up to it, or he's like damaged goods almost. So I guess that kind of played into my mind a little bit, especially, yeah, when I came back, but I got through it. It was sweet. I got through that season without any head knocks. When I went to Parramatta, that's probably when, I don't know, started, I got one and then I was like, okay, well, sweet. Like, it bounced back pretty well. Got a second one like halfway through the season. Thank you, brother. Halfway through the season. And then the last one of the last game, it was a big one. And I just couldn't turn my back on the symptoms that I was having and the conversations that I was having with the neurologist. Like, because there was a third one, I had to go back and do all the testing again. And it's a big day of testing. It's like you and a neurologist are sitting in a room and you're going through literacy questions, numeracy, problem solving, reaction time, memory, working memory. It's the whole thing. And you're cooked by the end of the day. And then at the end of that conversation, he was like, and this is someone who does this for a living, someone who knows what he's talking about. He's like, mate, I recommend that you should medically retire from rugby league.
Oh, so it's actually him that said it, really. Like, obviously your decision, but if you're getting that from an expert, so probably carrying some weight.
That's what I meant. And then, so it was a back and forth conversation, and he recommended I retired, and I was sort of like, yes, like I want to be good when I'm 40, 50, 60, like when I'm older. I see old boys who can't articulate their words or their thoughts. They struggle what they were doing yesterday or even that morning. Like there's so many little things. And I was like, nah, I want to be sweet. Like I want to be good. So yeah, I guess I made the call and, told my friends and family and had conversations with the coaches, which was pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel like, are you confident that you, by making that, obviously that's obviously a pretty massive decision to make to retire that early, but makes complete sense thinking about at sort of the long-term impact. But yeah, do you feel like you've making the call then was early enough, or are you confident that you're not going to end up with those sort of symptoms later in life?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure, mate. Like everyone's like, do you regret playing footy? I was like, nah, not at all. Like I love footy. Like I love rugby league. I love everything that it's given me. I love all the boys that I got to meet, all the experiences that I have, the traits like hardworking, disciplined, resilience, fucking one of them. But like I would never change any of that. So probably to answer your question, yeah, I think I did get out at the right time. Like if you were to tell me as an 18-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid, like, look, mate, you're not going to play. You're going to have head knock. I'd be like, nah, bruh, I'm playing. Like there's no one who would stop me. Yeah. But obviously get a little bit older, a bit more mature. And hey, that might change in 10, 20 years times where I might start seeing the effects. Like, I don't know. But all I know is that I can't change the past. Like I can't change what's happened, but I can do everything I can now, drinking zero alcohol beer, like staying off the piss, it helps.
Nice.
Learning new things, like I'll go back and do my psychology grad diploma, postgraduate psych, just because I want to learn more about the brain. I want to learn how we can help my mates who are coming out of the sport, who are struggling with mental health. That ties into the Keegan and Company podcast. That's why I'm doing that. I want to have these conversations and learn. So when the boys are coming out of grade or when they're coming out of professional sport, then we've got some tools to be able to help them. Because it's going to happen. Like they're already starting to come out. And I think even just head knocks and mental health in general, like they've got to be related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool that it's not the other way too. Like you, I guess one of people's fears sometimes, and big like cricketers probably more that I speak to, is like, almost retiring too early, like going like, oh, I'm still at the top of my game. Like probably look at someone like Stuart Broad recently that like was almost like player of the series in the Ashes and he pulled the pin then. But like for you, it's like a genuine, you did retire very early, like medically obviously, but you don't also look back and go, oh, wonder what if, like could I have hung on for another couple of years or whatever? Like you've actually genuinely, well, we speak a lot about what you're doing now and the fact that you're not just sitting there going, well, that sucks, but you've actually moved on and doing plenty of positive things as well.
Yeah.
Which is wicked. Very cool. We've got a couple of topics that we want to get your opinion on. More like sporting, I guess, given that you're quite good at it. I just wanted to say also.
I'm not anymore, mate.
Still, you've got this. Yeah. Hang your hat on that.
Yeah. It's still so weird talking to people that were actually like are actually good at sport, just having been such a nuffy for so long. Like even, I don't know, like I was thinking before about how you had those repeat injuries like with your hamstring and stuff, like which I've just never had. And watching back highlights of you playing, it's like, I think I just don't try hard enough to potentially get injured. Like you just run so hard and like just,
it might shock you to know that Skin was very good at rugby league as a 12-year-old.
Really? What position did you play?
5'8".
Yeah. And he actually didn't medically retire, but he retired at 13. Yeah.
You thought you retired earlier.
He retired due to pretty much lack of resilience.
I was good at 12. I wasn't as good at 13. I thought, fuck this.
Yeah. Also, the other thing you mentioned for cricket, I feel like head knocks and concussion in general is probably something that's progressed the knowledge of them, as you're talking about, is something that people take a lot more seriously now, certainly within the last 10 years, massive in cricket now it's at the moment as well. And when playing like second 11 games now, we have to do the cognitive test.
Online one?
Yeah, online one to go like, so that if you get a head knock, you come off and you do that test and it's like what you score when you're obviously going well versus what you score when you've taken a head knock. Yes. If there's a massive disparity, they'll go, nah, you're out. Yeah. Like, ruled out of the game, basically. Yeah. But I did the test and I was like, I'm horrific at it when I'm.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in pretty good nick here. Like, just woke up, had a coffee, and I still can't pass it.
You were better after a head knock.
Yeah, mate, actually, you're right to keep going. Yeah.
That would happen all the time, like with the young boys coming through who might not be that bright, doing the cognitive like concussion test beforehand. They just couldn't pass it. And you just keep going day after day until you pass it. They hit the baseline and then, okay, all right, you can go through now. But even like,
what would they have to do to prove how poorly would they have to go to prove that they've had a head knock?
But I remember when I was younger, first coming into grade, like there was older boys who you look up to who they obviously a little bit more smarter than the other guys, but they would try and hit the baseline. So they would try and keep it as low as possible. Yeah. So if they did get a head knock, they would, you know, come back and play and then they would blitz the test.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's funny that like that's always been like the. Even sometimes now, like in the NRL, watching the NRL or AFL, whatever it might be, there was actually like a recent, Port Adelaide got fined in the AFL a whole heap of money for basically like covering up a concussion, like what should have been a concussion. And they said, no, he's subbed out with a migraine. So like there's still sort of that attitude of going like, oh, it's annoying. Like you don't, it's like precautionary and you don't want players missing games for that stuff. And like even what you were talking about, it's like there's still players like thinking of ways to try and avoid having to go for them and stuff.
Yeah, that's a crazy approach to like try and cheat the system to detriment your future health.
Well, especially when you hear like your story. Yeah. But I think the reality for some people is probably until they hear a story like yours, they just don't think that it'll ever happen.
Yeah. Mate, that's exactly right. Like especially when you're a young kid coming through, all you want to do is play NRL. Like that's all you want to do. Sure. So if you've got if you're not educated on the topic or if you haven't heard these stories, about, recent AFL and NRL coaches and players who end up, taking their own lives due to CTE or whatever it is, if you don't hear those stories, then it's like, well, my head is just as normal as my pec or my arm or my hammy or whatever it is. So, I've got a headache, sweet, I'll just brush it off. I'll do anything I can to play. And, mate, I was the exact same until I start becoming a bit more educated on the topic.
Yeah. And do you think, like obviously it's becoming a much bigger part of discussion these days. You hear about it a lot more, but do you feel like enough things are changing to make a significant impact, or is there still like a long way to go until?
Mate, I think there's a huge, there's a long way to go, but are we doing the right things? I think so. Yeah, I think we're on the right track. Like from where we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago to when I started playing, I think there's been a huge amount of improvement. But saying that, mate, I think we've got a lot to go. Yeah.
Good. All right, let's get to, so Keegan, on the podcast, we do a segment called Must or Dust, which is basically like two, what are they, describing words?
Adjectives.
Adjectives that we use to, they are adjectives, aren't they? Are they so. Nouns maybe?
I don't know. Yeah. It's about, dust
anyway,
is a noun.
Probably not important.
I thought adjectives had to end in L-Y or generally end in L-Y. Or
that's
something.
Generally, yeah, moving yeah. quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Man, we would have passed that cognitive test.
Yeah, look at this.
We're on.
Yeah. No, okay. So the two describing words that we use to say whether something is good, that's a must, or poor or bad, that's dust, that's right? And I know you love our jingles. You've spoken very, very highly of them. So here's one for must or dust.
Is this must or dust? Is this must or dust? It won't take too long, so don't get it wrong. Is this must or dust?
Very good. Production quality.
Not enough Mikus in that one.
Nah, Keegan did actually say, so you guys just jump into a studio to record.
Yeah. Yeah, mate.
Is that front room over there? right. So here we go. Let's get a couple that whether we'll find out where you sit. The idea is you're not meant to sit on the fence in theory. We do often, but you can't as a guest. All right. Showing people your own highlights. It doesn't matter what sport. Just if you've got any access or no, obviously the invention of sort of live streaming our grade cricket games and stuff. Often if I've played like a really good reverse sweep, I find a way to weave it into conversation. I'm a massive must. Anyone else care for a vote?
I would say dust. I've never done it. I've never sent my highlights to anyone else. And can I throw you a little bit further under the bus? He doesn't just show me a highlight of a shot, like a sweep shot. He'll go through his whole innings, cut up his own highlights.
Self-edited.
Like, get every boundary he's hit, compile them into one video and airdrop it to me while I'm sitting across the room
and
working.
It's 3 seconds long.
Your first words of the podcast, mate. Right?
Imagine if you were sitting on a plane and you just start hitting everyone with your highlights.
Oh, that's good.
Let's actually do that.
Yeah.
New YouTube video. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Dave the Brit.
No, I'm going to go dust. If you were seen to do that in the footy world, you'd get the, you get peppered.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. So like your first try in the NRL. Didn't show that off to anyone.
You can show your family. If they're probably watching.
I'll show my family, 100%. Yeah. It took me years to get my first try. Yeah. I only got three of them.
But you can't just walk up to people in a cafe and go, hey, you guys, I'm not sure if you watched this game last night.
See the game on the weekend? Oh, that's pretty good. A couple of good tries, isn't
it? I feel like it would be really poor if you were like at the pub or something with a few friends and then kind of started chatting to some other people and then weaved into that conversation. I think that's when it's definitely
dusty.
Yeah. Pretty dust.
I think there's opportunities where you have to just get them in there.
Yeah, I know.
Someone brings up, how'd you go on the weekend? It's like, oh, I don't know. Obviously, I've got this 12-minute clip.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
All right, next one for him. Who's got it?
I wanted to ask, obviously, staying on the sort of sports topic and listening to your podcast recently, you spoke to like Matt Horton and stuff, a professional swimmer, they always do their training early in the morning, which I've never understood. So I guess I've just given away that I'm a dust. Early morning training sessions, like stupidly early morning.
I'm a massive dust.
Yeah.
And it shows in my performance when I go to the gym and they measure like, what are they called? They're like MEPs or something. It's, I don't know what that stands for. It's an acronym. But
thanks.
But it's something, energy points maybe. Who knows? But it always better in the afternoon than the morning. I'm a stinker morning person. Yeah.
Really? No, I'm a must.
Really?
I'm a must early. If I don't get it done in the morning, I'll come home in the day and I'll be crashing by the end of the day. Wow. But maybe that's why I am crashing, because we do it early.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll sit on the fence.
Thanks, Mingus.
No. I'm
you do it
I'm
at midday. No.
I'm more of a dust, but once you're up and you're doing it, it's like the best thing ever.
You train morning and arfo.
Yeah, well,
the grind doesn't stop.
The 71 days hard.
No one knows what that means.
Well, you should have explained
Tell
it.
Tell the people.
No, next one.
All right. What about this one, Keegan? Because I see this all the time. So I've got to be careful with how I word this. Golf, like getting really obsessed with golf as a professional athlete, but not a professional golfer. Like, we've got these guys at cricket that are just like, they're professional cricketers. They get paid to play cricket. and they love golf more than they love cricket.
I'm a must. I was a COVID golfer. Nah, it's a good way to get around the boys on a day off, you know, tell the missus you're going in for nine holes, but yeah, no golf. You're away for 6 hours. You're away for 6 hours. Come home half pissed.
Oh, no, it was a poor round. I just had so many shots or something.
Nah, dust. I'm just horrible.
I must as well. I'm also dog shit at it. Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't gotten into it. But I do like the idea of being good at golf, so I'm going to say must.
Yeah. And I've got one more that's a pointed crack at skin. Okay, this is molded mouth guards, like as in like dentist mouth guards. When you were playing footy, was that like, is that something, as an NRL player, I've never asked this, do all NRL players have that?
Yeah, they come in, the dentists come in and there's like an afternoon where you just go in and they fit your mouth guard and you can get like little colours on them or little words on them.
Right.
So it's like an activity. It's an activity.
Mate, we need that in the div too.
Or you can just go to a dentist, which is what most normal people do. Yeah. But skin is still putting like a Rebel Sport, as much as they're wonderful people, but a $23 Rebel Sport mouth guard into boiling water and trying to bite into it.
Yeah.
As a mid-20s male, I think it's a proper dust.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to call that that's dust. And even worse this season, I bought a new one at the start of the season, was running late to round one. Shock. Running late to round one, so late to round one, we didn't play round one. I got there round two. That was good.
We did actually miss that round there.
And I was running so late, I didn't bother boiling the water. I just used hot water out of my tap and then bit into it. So it doesn't even fucking fit. I've played the whole season. It doesn't really sit in my teeth right at all.
Can't you just reboil it?
It's like a penny drop moment. We can just
the old cognitive test.
Get that common sense out of here.
One chance of doing it.
Even worse though, to be fair, to dob myself in, I forgot my mouth guard this year, my beautifully molded one that I paid money for.
How much do they cost if you go to a dentist?
It's like $180, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so not that much considering they, like, your teeth aren't going to change that much. So in theory, they should last
a while. Yeah, true.
I keep losing mine, so that doesn't help. Yeah, but
Skin could get eight for the price of yours. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I left mine at home and Skin played the reserves game and I played the seniors game. I was like, I've got no mouth guard. You're going to have to bring me yours. We shared mouth guards.
Yeah, that's the must.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
So Keegan, on to life after footy, I guess, and what life looks like now. You've, as you mentioned earlier, you've started your own podcast that's called Keegan and Company, which I guess is a mental health and sport podcast. You've sort of obviously got access to some pretty reasonable athletes who also happen to be your mates, not Mickers.
27th best.
I listened to a podcast with Mac Horton yesterday, who was great to hear from. But yeah, tell us a little bit about that project, I guess, and what you're doing and what sort of inspired you to start that.
Yeah, great question, mate. I guess I've sort of always been involved in mental health. Probably started when I kicked off in, I guess I was 17 when I first got into mental health. I lost a mate to suicide when I was 17. Guy called Regan Grieve. This is a guy who was loved by everyone. We played schoolboys together, Queensland schoolboys, loved by everyone, respected, funny, happy. The guy who pretty much from the outside had everything. We were rooming together at the, you know, schoolboys, you know, under 17 tour, 18 tour. We both got picked in the Australian team where it was a 4-week tour of England, 2 weeks in France. It was a great trip. And then he couldn't go on the trip because he broke his ankle. And that started a downward spiral of his mental issues and probably the things that were sitting in the background. And then Australia Day that following year, he committed suicide, which was pretty wild. And I guess that was the first time that I ever had any sort of impact with mental health. I didn't really know about anything about that when I was, growing up. And mate, being a 17-year-old kid, I fully suppressed it. I didn't go to the funeral, didn't speak to his mum for 8 years afterwards. Since he died, I didn't speak to her. And then it kickstarted me into, wanting to be the guy that my mates could talk to. Like, this guy was one of my fucking best mates and I didn't know what he was going through. I didn't talk to him about that. We were just always talking about, having fun, birds, playing footy. And so after that, I said, I'm never letting that happen again. I will never let that happen again. So throughout my whole footy career, I wanted to be the guy that my mates can talk to. I wanted to, footy's a very bravo, manly environment. We don't want to talk about our feelings, but I want to be the guy that even if we are having a beer or even if we're out of coffee, what are we talking about? That's why I do stuff with Movember. We've been an ambassador for Movember for the last 7-8 years. And so that sort of sat in the background. And then at the end of last year, I just committed. I said, I want to have genuine conversations with mates who just so happen to be really high profile athletes, I guess. Not all of them, but the goal of the podcast is to have these conversations that, help normalize just us having a conversation like we are today. And if they can be seen, being vulnerable and talking about their hard times, then it makes it okay for us to be talking about our hard times. And so we launched the podcast and I've done a couple podcasts where I've jumped on and the thing that gets me, yes, we've had a great response. We've had some really great, views and shares, but the thing that gets me is all the messages. The messages from, friends and family and people who are you've inspired me to reach out to my mate or you've inspired me to reach out to a therapist. One guy I work with, he just said last week, he's like, mate, I did my first psychologist, my first therapy session the other day, which was really cool. But the one of the most wild things, when I was in Melbourne 2 weeks ago, I did a podcast with Jakey from The Unlaced. He's an ex-professional athlete as well. And I talked the first time I'd ever spoken about Regan, and this is pretty much the second. Mm-hmm. So it kind of it does choke me up a little bit because I've got a lot of love for him. But when I did the podcast, I talked about Regan for the first time and I sort of brushed over it a little bit because it was choking me up and I didn't know how to react. Anyway, they cut the clip and the clip, it was a very beautiful clip about talking about Regan and he posted it on social media and then his mom, Regan's mom, reached out to me for the first time in 8 years. And it was mate, it was wild. And the message pretty much was, thank you so much for sharing Regan's story. The biggest thing that I thought when we lost Regan that he would be forgotten. So he's like, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm so proud of you. And here I am in tears, just fully and then I called her. I was like, do you mind if I give you a call? I called her and this is the first time I spoke to her in 8 years since the passing of Regan. And she's just like, she's like, Regan would be so proud of you. These conversations need to be had more. And it was obviously an hour conversation. But after that, I was like, this is it. I was like, this is what we got to do. We got to be having more conversations. I'm sick of losing mates to suicide. I'm sick of all of us go through our own mental shit. So if we can be seen, talking, normalizing the conversation of seeing a psychologist or, or fucking my hairline's receding, that's a big one as well. there are little things that we all need to talk about. And if these guys can be seen having this conversation, then it makes it okay for all of us to have a conversation.
No, it's incredibly powerful, that's for sure. And I always struggle, I guess. I don't want to put you on the spot massively, but I feel like I probably have so many friendships where even sometimes you could say to a mate, how's things going? How are you doing? And all that conversations become so superficial sometimes in terms of you check in and go, how's things, mate? And you sort of ask. And sometimes I actually ask myself and then I'm like, I'm not even listening to the response. It's like, it becomes a habit to just go hey, mate, how are you? How's things? You're like, oh yeah, good. And then you do those.
If someone asks you how you are, you just say, yeah, fine, sweet. No complaints.
Do you have any ways or suggestions to sort of get into conversations that are slightly deeper than that. Like we're, you know, with our mates, I mean, we're all great mates here, and I think we could openly, honestly say we probably don't rock in every day and say that. I can say we would genuinely give a token, how you going, mate? And I think it's something that I definitely know that I could get a lot better at.
Yeah, the best thing that I've found over the years, and to be honest, mate, I don't know that much. Like I'm pretty much at the start of my journey. So that's why I want to do the podcast. That's why I want to do my postgrad in psychology. That's why I want to learn more about the brain, to go on this journey of learning. So that's why the podcast, I'm not going in there to preach because I don't know. Like I don't know. But the best thing that I've found is that when I speak about my own vulnerabilities to a mate, then it opens that door of communication. And usually when you're, you know, more vulnerable about your own vulnerabilities, then it makes it okay for them to come back to you. So if I'm sitting with Mikkus and we're having a coffee and he's like, mate, how are you? And you're like, you know what, mate? Like, I'm actually pretty stressed out. Like I'm here on the Gold Coast. Like I'm trying to fit all these catch-ups in. Like I was sitting here, I'm trying to meditate before coming in here. Like I'm stressed out. I'm supposed to have like, you know, 6, 7, 10 catch-ups a day with athletes for my work, you know, with the podcast, we're trying to get my friends and family in. I'm like, I'm stressed out. Like I'm stressed out to the max. And usually if I am vulnerable with Mikkus or with a mate or whoever it is, then more likely they're likely to, you know, have a response and have their conversation back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty awesome answer. Cause my follow-up question was essentially from the other side. Like you said, like everyone would go through their own stuff at some point, even like I'm sure to very different degrees, even if it's not like nothing particularly major. But if you're on the other side of that, how the heck do you possibly start a conversation? Like if like the work you're doing with your podcast is normalizing those conversations, which is great. But if you like are having your own struggles, how do you start a conversation with one of your mates? And I guess you also, it's cool that you and Mikkus can do that. But yeah, I guess you also would be worried about like if the other person has the mental capacity for your problems as well. Is probably something that I often think about when I end up not talking about stuff like that. But yeah, you just made that sound very easy. So,
well, I mean, nice. Like, and don't get me wrong, like I don't go around to every single person saying, actually, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm going through. No, I've probably got a great, probably 3 or 4 mates that I've got a really great connection with. And if I'm going through a really tough time, they're the guys that I lean on. My mum and dad, I can lean on them. My sister, I can lean on them. So I've got a few core people, and having those people in your life are really important. But saying that, like, if you're not comfortable with, you know, getting someone in your own friendship circles, talk to a psychologist. And if you don't want to have that conversation with a psychologist, then talk to one of like the hotlines. Like there are so many options where you can make it available and you can make it easy. Like what I find insane is that we spend so much money on our like physical health, whether that's gym memberships, whether that's protein, whether that's vitamins or whatever it is. I know you boys are looking pretty good. You're probably spending a bit of cash on that.
I was about to say, I spend a lot of money on gym memberships. Yeah. I don't go very often.
Make genuine donations.
but that's the thing. Like we spend all this money on our health, but it's like our brain is probably the thing that's driving all of it. So why wouldn't you invest in seeing a psych? Like I see a psych every month. Most of the time it's got nothing to do with me going through a deep, dark, you know, time, but I just want to have a conversation. And like the best investment I can say is like, just go see a psych like 5 or 10 times and just see what comes out.
How did you choose your psych?
That's actually a great question, which, cause people go through like a bunch of different psychs before they find one that they fit with.
I've genuinely looked at it before and been like overwhelmed. Yeah. I've been like, oh shit, there's 45 options have come up.
Yeah, I've been to one before cause our mum is like great. And she like, I don't know, like I feel like it's like going to see a psychologist has like a bad stigma. Like people think it makes you crazy sort of thing. Yeah. Whereas our mum was never like that. Like I'd think, maybe when I was sort of just turned 18, I don't even think I had anything particularly crazy going on. Oh, I think it was dad passed away. Mum was like, go see a psychologist and sent me for like 6 to 10 sessions. And it was great. I think she just chose for me. So perhaps you've got better insights than that.
just try it. Like you can Google, or if you've got someone who you know sees a psychologist, like word of mouth, like recommendations. Like anytime a mate's going through a really tough time, I usually pass on my psychologist because I know I've got a really great relationship with her. So word of mouth, you can go on a website and pretty much just like Google psychologist, you know, Southeast Gold Coast or whatever it is. But just try a couple. Like you might go through 3 or 4 that you don't like. Me, I was lucky. The first one who I got in contact with, I was locked in. But yeah, just try a bunch, and you know, once you build a relationship with someone, then it makes it really easier.
But it's funny, even like you would never say that about, like, even hearing myself ask that question, I was like, if it was like a dentist or a physio, I'd just be like, oh, I'll just go. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah. you don't think about it. You're like, oh, I wonder if they know what a leg is. Like, for a physio, you just see that they're a physio and ring them and go, oh, that's near my house, I'll go. Yeah. Like, that's literally my process for choosing a lot of other, I guess, those professions. But then when it comes to, even as I heard myself asking that question, I was like, that's a bit of a cop-out.
It's
probably not actually a different process whatsoever. But it's true what you say, like your story about Regan. I feel like every time that doesn't matter if you hear it on the news, if you read on socials, we've had one at the cricket club. Matt Conwell was our mate that Mitch certainly played cricket with for lots and lots of years, and that was the exact same thing. Basically what you said, larger than life character, looked so happy anytime you spoke to them from the outside. If you haven't connected on a deeper level from the outside, you're just like, yep, this guy's enjoying it. He's having a great time. He's loving it. And I remember that same feeling. I think that was 2020 when I'd come back to Brisbane, and that was the tragic passing of our mate at and cricket. And that was a similar outpouring, going like, we're all mates at the cricket club. We have six teams of, like, there's 70 cricketers there, and everyone's going, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, exactly.
No one had any idea. So,
and how wild is that? Like, being in an environment where, like, the best part of my day, I'm sure the best part of yours day, is going to training.
Yeah,
like going around and being around the boys, like going for a beer and a feed afterwards. Like, that's the best time of day, and I'm sure a lot of guys use that as an escape to get out, and they probably don't want to talk about their feelings in that time because they just want to get out of their, you know, day to day life. But having those communities and having those, like, support networks are huge. Like Palmy Surf Club, you'll see my old boy down there every morning with a group of maybe like 10 or 15 old boys, and they're talking about, like, I think one of them, I don't know, had some sort of cancer or like had some sort of thing in his gut, and he's like, oh, I just got checked. He's like, oh, you boys should probably get checked as well. So all of them went and got checked. So like little things like that happens all the time.
Well, I see your dad down at the surf club every morning without a doubt with the boys.
Yeah,
it's awesome, because I'm down there as well most mornings with all my mates, and I'm like, oh, I hope that's
gonna
me.
Be, that's, yeah, that's going to be us, brother.
30 years or whatever, and yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, if I don't know where my dad is, I just go to the surf club every morning and he'll be there. Yeah. I ever lose him.
That's nice to know. Dad, you left your phone at home again, but I've found you. do you have other questions on that topic, Mitch? Or I was going to ask you, you do have another one?
So not specifically on that topic. I was going to ask you a bit about your work.
So
I assume that's where you were going.
That's where I was carrying on. No, I guess I wanted to speak because I think it connects certainly to mental health in general, is that a lot of athletes that you do read about also coming out of retirement into, what do I do after work? As you said, you signed up. What do I do after footy or whatever it might be? You signed a contract when you're 16, 17. So sometimes that's all you've ever known is doing that. So I guess, can you shed any light on that transition that you made from going from footy into the work that you're doing now? With you lobbed up with a car that's branded, so you obviously like it quite a bit.
Yeah, mate. So when I was going through footy, I recognized at a pretty young age that footy's not going to be forever. And I guess I was pretty nervous about retiring, even when I was, 18, 19, haven't even made it, but I was putting everything into it. And I thought, okay, well, my parents drummed into me that I had to have a plan B. So I did a Bachelor of Business. I finished that. I went through and did an MBA halfway through an MBA with Ryan James. He captained the Gold Coast Titans for a number of years, really good friend. And then I just tried everything when I was playing footy. Like, I remember I worked at Labatt. I did a day prepping with them in a fine dining restaurant. I worked in cafes, worked as a mortgage broker. I pretty much just hit up mates who were in the industry. Like, mate, can I just shadow you for a day? Because I realized,
like, a little work experience, kid.
But that's the thing. Like, I realized, like, figuring out what you don't want to do is just as important as figuring out what you want to do. So I wanted to get to the point where whenever I was to finish footy, I'd be like, okay, well, I don't want to do all of this, but maybe I can figure out what I want to do. got medically retired, I still had no idea what I wanted to do. I had like all these little things that I thought this might be cool. Got medically retired. And luckily when you get medically retired, you get your contract paid out. So I had a year of breathing room to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I was lucky enough to catch up with a mate who I went to school with at Palm Beach Crumb, and Steve Dresler. And he founded a disability support service that employs athletes as support workers. So what they do is they take participants of all different disabilities out into the community to just have fun. We found that when the participant's having fun, then all aspects of their life improve. And when they're having fun, they're also learning. So little things like surfing, being more socially interactive, it might be ordering a coffee by themselves, it might be helping them walk across the road, it might be little things like that. And so when I retired, we caught up for a coffee and he said, mate, what are you going to do now? I said, oh, I don't know. I might like go do the fireys, you know, I might go, you know, try different things. Got a bit of a breathing room. He's like, well, come do a day with us. Come see what we do. And so I did a day with a participant and I just fully fell in love with it. I love the fact that I can have hands-on impact. Like my why is helping people through sport. That ties into the Keegan and Company podcast. That ties into the work that I do with What Ability. So I did support work as a support worker for like maybe 4 or 6 months. And then he said, hey mate, like, do you want to come on full time and build an athlete program? Because we obviously employ so many athletes. So, got involved. We were just in Sydney and now we've launched Melbourne, Perth, Gold Coast, Brisbane. And my role as athlete manager is to, you know, go and present to professional, semi-professional teams who are looking for flexible employment. Like we've been in that, and I've been in that professional, semi-professional environment before. So I can go and talk to these young girls, young development boys, a lot of netballers, a lot of AFLW, NRLW, and just present to them about like flexible employment, fun, flexible employment. But then also those top tier guys who don't really need to do it for cash, but they do it because they love it. So that's like your Tom Trbojevic's, that's your Dyson Heppels, that's your Braden Maynard's, Angus Bell from the Wallabies. Like these guys are on over $1 million a season. Like they don't need any more cash. Yeah. They're not doing this as a job. They do this as a give back because they're the ones who were breaking down the barriers and stigmas of people who are living with a disability, which is really cool. So yeah, mate, I was lucky to fall on my feet after footy. But yeah, I love the mental health space. I love the disability space. I'll probably do a deep dive into the mental health space. I want to do my psychology degree. I want to go down that and help mates who are coming out. So yeah, mate, it's been cool. That's my spiel.
That is cool.
That was a whole spiel. Very good. I've rambled.
No, well, that's good. Yeah, I've just been sitting over here thinking this is all very cool. So, yeah, well done.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Now, mate, on your, we're going to finish with a game that I've themed for you, but I just probably want to get a stronger call to action. The Keegan and Company podcast has currently got 3 episodes. I checked and listened to 2 of them yesterday. But there's more coming, isn't there? So, man, where can people find that? Where can our listeners find that?
Yeah, we're on Instagram and all the socials, podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Yeah, Keegan and Company.
Yeah, and you're doing more. There's more coming. Yeah, it's not just 3.
No, we'll keep going. We're doing bi-weekly at the moment. For me, I just wanted to start. Like, I just wanted to start having these conversations. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. Probably take a little bit of time to find its voice and figure out the nitty gritties, as you guys know. Mm-hmm.
Still figuring that out.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing well. The boys are doing good. I'll start probably going weekly over the next maybe a couple months. See where that ends up. But it's cool. Like, I want to do it not just in Sydney, but on the Gold Coast, in Melbourne, in Perth, like all around Australia. I'd like to go over to the UK and America and have chats with, you know, guys who are coming out of the NFL, say, or coming out of, you know, soccer or whatever it is, and grow it and just learn pretty much, and go on a little journey. So yeah, we just got to start, as you boys, and like, thanks again for having me on. Like, you guys have a pretty amazing platform here, so to be able to talk about mental health and normalize the conversations is pretty cool. So yeah, thanks boys, I really appreciate you boys having me on.
It's a pleasure for us. I think we often probably sometimes underestimate even the impact that we can have. There's been many a time where we've got actually messages on, I know certainly from, I remember Cam, one particular message was a listener that sort of reached out and said that he'd had some dark times. Wow. In his life, and that sort of listening to us and gaining a way to have a laugh during the day, and that made a big impact on his life. And there were times like where we didn't know that, probably even listening and reading some of those messages, we were like, we didn't know that was happening. I guess when we sort of started it was really a way for us to, it was a creative outlet for us. It was, it was not what we expected, I guess. And so the fact that we can make that impact or have that impact for some people because you just don't know who you're speaking to at some of the times or who's taking something out of it. Yeah. That's been incredibly positive and rewarding for us and someone that we would like to lean into a lot more wherever is possible. So speaking to you, someone that's actually actively seeking to do some really good work in the mental health space, then that made complete sense for us.
Beautiful.
You look like you were going to say something. But
no, I just couldn't agree more.
Perfect. Okay. Well, you've got one more jingle to listen to, Keegan. This game is called Human Shazam. The idea with this game is that you're essentially all of you are playing too. So Mika's skin, Keegan, your buzzers generally. Mika says Bali. We're not sure why. It's his favourite holiday.
It's not either. It's my favourite place.
Skip, what do you say? What's your buzzer?
Albert.
Albert. And that's, you also already know that story as well. and Keegan, you can say whatever. Any choices? You can say your name if you like.
I'll say wrestle.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. What we're talking about. Yeah. So much smarter. Okay. So basically, well, I'm going to play a little jingle here, but it's in MIDI form, which is really, really poor music. And that's to avoid being flagged by the copyright centers.
Yes.
That's the reason we do that. So the game actually is quite more difficult than probably what it should be for that reason. These ones, the theme tonight, I need my notes so I can educate you at the same time. The theme is they have to be connected in some fashion to NRL. So that can either be, well, I'm not going to give too much away. NRL songs, I'll say. Okay.
So do we have to guess the song?
You'll have to guess the song. Yeah.
You'll be useless.
Nah, you'll be fine. Okay. What am I going here?
Oh, the jingle?
Yeah, I'm just seeing which one I'm going to start with. Start easy, I reckon.
Wrestle.
Yeah, that Bali.
Is it Tina Turner?
It is indeed. And the song is?
Oh, my God. I should know. It's like Never Give Up or...
Oh, do you have it? You can take one point each.
I've said Bali. I'm just
saying okay. It's Tina Turner. Yeah.
Is that, are you giving up, I reckon?
No.
Can't tell you that. I'm giving you 1 point. It's the theme song from, it was the NRL theme song from 1990 to 1995. Oh, come on.
It's called
Simply the Best.
No! Bang. No! Full points.
Did you guys
thank
know?
You
Yeah. I was expecting a jingle.
That's correct. What do you mean a jingle?
Like your bloody...
Did we not play the jingle?
Yeah, I didn't play the jingle.
That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. I was like,
sorry. So what I like to do always with this game is play the first one first and then go back and play the Human Shazam jingle.
Pump up Shazam, pump it up. Yeah, you'll need some prompting. Yeah. While your ears are thumping, you can do some crumping.
Is the harmony good?
Is the harmony good?
It's my favorite part.
You just say, yeah.
I was doing the harmony.
I don't know if you can harmonize by saying, yeah.
No. The harmony was so good you couldn't tell that I was actually singing over the top of Lee as well. But anyway.
Okay. All right. I'm getting more complex now. Are you ready? Well, they're not really more complex songs, but they're looser. The connection to the NRL is looser.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the NRL theme song.
Here you go.
It sounds like, is it Macklemore and thingy? And it's Can't Hold Us?
It is indeed. Well done. I also need to give you a correct sound, don't I? Wait for a second.
Jeez, these things. As Goody would say, you're on fire tonight.
There we go. Correct. That's full points as well. Macklemore performed at the grand final in 2017, the NRL grand final. So
that is loosely attached to the NRL.
Well, it's not that. It's not the loosest. All right. Here you go. You should get this one, I reckon. Oh, jeez, you're on fire. You actually are on fire.
Well, that's my scenes, the original song, isn't it? That's my team by, I don't know who it's by. Got no idea.
Anyone know?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess we got to give you what, half? No, that's 1 point.
Yep.
I'm happy to give you.
Yeah.
It's barely a point because you got that wrong even. It was actually what's my scene is the original. Then it was by the Hoodoo Gurus and then they changed it to That's My Team Indeed from 2003 to 2007. That was the theme song. Can I get a score check here, Dave the Boot that knows jack shit? What have you got? Well, yeah, mid scoring.
I want to say 3 to Mikus, 2 to Keegan. Yeah.
Yeah, zero to skin. Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Happy. You should get this one.
Oh, Albert.
Oh, that sounded convincing.
Albert.
Yeah, here we go. You're in.
Rocky. What's the name? It's the last play down the series. He's almost gone. Is that what it's called, or is it something else?
It's not called K-San. No. Oh, well done. There we go. I'll give you that. It's brilliant. Called K-San. Who sings it?
You just know people are like yelling into their ears.
These absolute idiots.
Anyone know?
I'm going to hazard a guess and say cold chisel.
Well done.
Well done.
Heck. And that is impressive because that opens up, well, it doesn't open up. It puts everyone at 3 for Mikus, 2 for Skin, 2 for Keegan with an impossible song to come. So here you go. Let me know if you can get it.
The plane movie.
Oh, no, I just don't know what it's called or who is it.
But you do know the song, though. Yeah? Oh, I can't give you much more there.
It's off Top Gun.
It is off Top Gun. I'm happy to give that as the
2 points.
We'll give him one. And can you tell me anything else? Who's an actor in Top Gun?
Tom Cruise.
Well done, Keegan. 4 points. Good stuff.
Oh, what is it?
What is that? And how is it linked to the NRL?
The song is called I Ain't Worried. The singers were One Republic. They performed at the 2019 Grand Final, and that is the reason
that
they are linked.
Did they even perform that song there?
No.
They just say Tom Cruise. It was Miles Teller. He likes NRL. Yeah.
Apparently, at the grand final, they performed like a cover of a Beyonce song. I was like, well, that gets too confusing in Human Shazam. So that's why it was like loosely connected. I thought it was going to be pretty difficult.
All the single ladies by One Republic.
Exactly. Well done. So I think, Keegan, you officially took the win there somehow. Yeah, it was probably a tie, really, but that's fine. Mate, thank you so much for making yourself available to come on the Week at the Chocolates podcast. We appreciate it a huge amount. We get some great stories, some very funny stories, but then also some really important discussions that I think some stuff certainly that from an individual perspective I can take out and put into practice in my own life. So I'm massively appreciative of that. So thank you so much, man.
No, thanks for having me, boys. It's huge. We had a great chat and look forward to the next one. If I get come on, if I'm allowed to come on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You will be selected.
Very
again.
Imposing.
Next time we get you and Payne Haas on together. Well, that was our chat with Keegan Hipgrave. I hope you enjoyed that. We certainly did, didn't we, Skin?
Yeah, bloody earth.
He was a great man and great topics that we got to discuss. Obviously, plenty of laughs in there, plenty of good stories, but then love the work that he is doing at the moment, which you can go and check out by looking up the Keegan & Company podcast, wherever you choose to listen to them. And he's on certainly Instagram and the socials as well. We'd also love to have you support us or get in contact at our social pages. That's at We Got The Chocolates everywhere, really. TikTok, Instagram, you know them all.
Yeah, Threads and X, the big platforms, you know.
Yeah, the ones that we're not at all active on, but that's good. Nice. And also leave a rating and review, a 5-star rating we're quite fond of on Apple and Spotify if you're listening there.
Yeah, please do. And you can also contribute to the show on the Chalk Line at our website if you'd like to hear yourself on a future ep or just write into us as well if that's your preference.
Perfect. Now, remember that was a bonus episode, our weekly episode. They drop every Thursday. So make sure you get across and listen to that as well. And remember that if you're out there having a laugh with your mates this week, you're absolutely getting the chocolates. We'll speak to you again this time next week. And as always, good luck in the future. And that stumps.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.